Mike O'Connell's, Melbourne's number one foodie pub.
Never walk alone on a Tuesday afternoon, I can tell you that much, because the biggest of the hairy cats will ride shotgun with us. Great to have him on board. Moons, good afternoon.
Hello there, Daniel. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Cameron. Nice to have someone. Someone be aware of who they're dealing
with. Not sure if
with.
I wanted to hear that song this morning.
Though. No, well, I was going to ask you about
terrible.
That. What happened
there? It's been
there?
A bad month, let's be honest. Been a bad month for Reds fans.
It's ruined the Stevie G farewell birthday FA Cup final.
No, it hasn't been good, but there is a little bit of rumour going around at SEN Land.
Yes. Stevie G?
No. Is there any truth that yesterday you ran out of the office here yelling this?
We got one!
On the back of Yaron. Because look at you all dressed up nice and dapper.
Oh,
look at
I've
you.
I've got to wear a suit. I don't like wearing suits.
Getting ready for the big night.
Got to wear a suit. Got to wear a tie at some stage too. No, I didn't yell. We got one.
We got one!
You have been looking to hang somebody all year.
Oh, look. It's good fun, isn't it?
Now,
it's good fun.
It's going to be a little bit interesting, and we'll get to the phones. We'll get to the public a little bit later.
Well, people's court, they have their say on the situation. Oh, they've got a direct line to the AFL Tribunal tonight.
Well, please.
A direct line. They can let me know what they think. That's what they can do.
What do you think?
Well, I'll hear then first, and I'll let you know later on.
Oh, you can't let your job.
You've got to absorb all the information.
He's saying Peter Smith was right. I mean, Patrick Smith was right.
Peter Smith. Solid work from you. Yeah, well, that's happening later on, of course. He's the only one challenging his... Well, not challenging, because he was sent straight there. Chris Yaron, all other players have accepted their fines as the sanctions for the AFL Tribunal. As we said last week, Moons, just on the fine situation, the AFL Tribunal panel... We're going to Vegas. We're going to Vegas for the end of season trip with all this cash we got through. Rory Sloane, 1,500. Scotty Thompson, 1,500. Joshy Jenkins, 1,000, along with Matty Yench, Taylor Walker, Nathan Jones with 1,500. Dean Kent with 1,500.
Bernie
Vince, 1,500. Second offences.
Ah.
Second offences and instigator. Rory Sloane copped 1,500 for an instigator of the melee. And poor old Jay Kennedy Harris just came in, copped a foul.
Well, this has got Bellagio written all over it.
We are going to Vegas. It's going to be so good. Cannot wait. Hey, we've got a bit to talk about, Moons. I just want to touch on the Geelong situation before we open the batting too deep here on the midday moon.
Bad news.
Well, yeah, but Jimmy Bartel out for minimum 8, having surgery to repair his medial ligament.
Got slid into, which
I
thought that was a free kick.
I had another look at that last night. I was a bit like you yesterday, having seen it on the TV live at the time and the replays. And I had another look at it last night. I thought, you know what? He just dropped on the ball, which could tell. He didn't go past the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that's why there wouldn't have been a free kick paid and shouldn't have been paid in the end. I got that wrong yesterday.
Yeah, but he's going to be a massive... Well, obviously, he's going to be a massive loss. He's one of the greats. You know, it was a great win. It was a huge win for them. But let's be honest, it was on the back of one man, their skipper.
Yep. Well, KB
that
said
was one of the great performances you'll ever see. If you haven't seen the game, do yourself a favour and just, especially the second half, just watch how this man wills his side over a line. It's incredible.
KB mentioned the other day, I think it might have been his take, that while he is playing Joel Selwood, let's skip up.
They're a chance. Tell him they're a chance.
Regardless of the situation or the game scoreboard at the time, he is able to drag 21 other blokes with him, even though there's only 17 on the field at the time. 21 others with him.
There's only 20 available.
In It's only 19 at one stage.
You think, well, Bartel, Stokes and Lonergan obviously got completely knocked out. And they did it without, obviously, great Tommy Hawkins and just a quick...
Yeah, that's very sad, that news
coming
out yesterday.
Yeah, it is. Unbelievably
sad. Passing of his mother.
That she went in on Monday night and on Saturday night she passed away.
Yeah.
So condolences with the Hawkins family. Beautiful, beautiful family and a beautiful woman, Jen. So
absolutely, we'll see.
Go out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very, very sad news. And our condolences from SEN to all the family and to Tommy as well, and the greater Geelong community too, because they're as you say, a great family throughout that community. It's very, very sad. Yesterday, the Bartel situation, Moons. It's a significant blow in a time where I imagine the club can ill afford to lose their cream.
Yes.
How big an impact do you think it will have?
Oh, well, look, he's been thrown back through the middle of the ground, which is a place that they've struggled for the last couple of years, but again, struggling again this year. And look, he started the game really well. His defensive stuff, I mean, his brutality around the ball and his tackling was unbelievable if you saw it live. A couple of big hits. But then when they lost him, they completely got obliterated out of the centre. Mm. Like, it was embarrassing. So, look, that's going to be a huge loss for them because they're coming up with no answers to the big question at the moment with their contested stuff and their stoppage stuff, and in particular their centre clearances. So he's going to be a huge loss. But, you know, these guys need to step up, these younger fellas. Guthrie and, you know, Hall and Smith may have to come back in now. But I loved Gregson's game. He's going to be an absolute beauty, the young fella. Cockatoo just showed again that he just has this explosive power and, you know, can just do some amazing things. But these guys are going to come in and out of games. You know, you can't expect these guys to be the consistent animals that the other guys have been over a long time. So it's, yeah, look, they're not in a great spot, let's be honest. But as I've said a couple of times, you know, if you had them in your top four, I think you were dreaming.
Yep.
They've got the older players who are coming to an end, and they've got a young group there that need time together. It's as simple as that.
What did you make of the Gold Coast on the weekend, just while we're on that game? Because they were coming with a mission too. Obviously, Gary wasn't playing, and he just decided to stay for three more years as the skipper of the Gold Coast Suns, Gary Ablett,
until
the end of 2018. He'll be facing the media, or I think he's on Fox Sports at around about 12:30, so we'll try and bring him a bit of that.
Probably just thought, hang on, my shoulder's bung. Probably not going to get a three-year deal anywhere else. Might as well
take the three at the mill.
Take the three mill.
The brick.
As
I'd
you
like
would.
To take the brick. The brick would be nice. So that's great news.
Great news for Gaz and for the Gold Coast and for footy. You're right, because you want to see him. Look, he started something up there, and you'd love, as a friend and as a mate, I'd love to see him. And I said this a couple of times now. If he's going to go down as the greatest. And he's arguably the best player of all time.
He's worth the discussion.
His resume will closely say that he is. But if he's to go down as the best player of all time, he needs to hold the cup up with the Suns as a premiership captain.
Ooh.
That would just be the icing on the cake.
Well, I think that would take him to very, very rare air.
Yes.
Absolutely. Gee, can you see that happening in the next 3 years?
Well, look, with the list they have, yes. You've got to say that there are possibilities. The way they're playing at the moment, no. But, look, they've been disappointing. I think we're all in agreement of that. But, look, they came down there. They were pretty good on the weekend, but I was probably disappointed in the end because I actually thought at three-quarter time they were going to overrun Geelong.
Yeah.
And they probably should have with the legs that they had with the youth that they've got running around. But, again, they just couldn't quite finish the job off when it was needed. So that was disappointing. But with the list they have and the talent they have on that list, surely only 3 or 4 years.
Don't know. Yeah, I'm not convinced. I'm just not convinced about him.
Last year, you would have said, yeah, look, I'm convinced. So on the back of three games, now you're saying no.
No, I had them. I listened. You know what I did? I listened to Mark Fine talk about the Gold Coast Suns one day, and he went through the list.
I love listening to Finey.
He went through the Gold Coast list, the whole list. And we talked about the talent level and whether or not they had, at A, achieved what we thought they could, or B, were going to achieve what we think they should. And he made some very valid points about the actual quality currently on the list and didn't see enormous growth from what the development path had been till that point. I got to think, you know, I covered the list myself, went over it a few times, thought, I think he might be right. There is some really good talent on the Gold Coast Suns list, but there doesn't seem to be as much development of that talent at the rate we thought was going to be when we first saw them. And I think that's where the issue is going to be for Gold Coast.
There's no question that I think the GWS, because they had a year of looking at what the Suns did, that I think they got it better. They got it more right.
Yes.
They've just completely stockpiled with picks.
Yeah,
you know, even when someone would leave, they'd just stockpile another couple of first rounders. Like, they've done it unbelievably brilliant, the Suns. So the Giants. So to me, they're probably in a much better position than the Suns.
Yep.
But I still think the Suns, with what they've got. I mean, you look at those big guys up forward.
The key posts are good.
Mate, you look at their midfield is still very good. Their problem has been in the kneeful, where they've been. especially last year, I'm not sure of the results this year, but they were smacked on several occasions last year. So their depth is a worry, and that's where the Giants got it right. They just kept bringing in these kids and just kept stockpiling all these great youth.
Well, half the Gold Coast list has been there for four years, and we haven't seen a lot.
Yeah, but do you know what, though? You think, how many players in their first 4 years before their 50 games go on are superstars?
No, not many.
I mean, it's tough. These guys have been beaten up for 3 years. So it takes some time for a group to come together and get you 60, 70 to 100 games. It takes time. So you give these guys another full season under their belt and then another pre-season again. Now, with that list, they're going to be pretty good.
Jury's out for me.
I still think we judge these kids too harshly just because they're number, top 20 picks and there's lots of them, yes. But it still takes time in this game to develop your game and know how to play the game.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And Mick Malthouse made a really good point on the coach's box on Friday night, talking to the boys, saying that he's going to play these young players. Everyone's screaming for play these kids at Carlton. He'll play them when they're ready. Because otherwise you end up with the Jack Watt situation against the Magpies and Queen's Birthday all those years ago, that you throw them in because you think you want to and you think people want you to, and they're not ready, and bad things happen, and their confidence is shattered, and you've got to build them up again from scratch, and it's a really difficult thing to do. So I agree wholeheartedly with your sentiment. Paul's in Doreen. I'm moving on just for a second. G'day, Paul.
How are you, boys?
Going well.
Paul.
Just a quick observation. I'm an Adelaide Crows fan.
Yep.
And last year, Port Adelaide, as much as I despise them, were up and about, and everyone was talking about them, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
This year, Adelaide Crows demolish Kangaroos, demolish Collingwood, although they sort of let them come back in the fourth quarter, and then get the job done against the not too bad Melbourne side, who I reckon are going to be a bit more competitive this year. And there's no talk about them whatsoever.
Are you sure you've been listening to all the forums, all the radio, and the TV? I can remember several real chunks of quality airtime going to the Adelaide Crows, particularly after that first week, and then again.
I think we've all been all over them, haven't we?
Magpies game.
I guess where I'm coming from, it was all about how poorly North played on when we played them, and then how the Pies are in dismay after we beat them, and then Melbourne are just Melbourne when we beat them. I never really hear too much about, it's not that North played a terrible game, it's that Adelaide were fantastic, or Adelaide were just too good for Collingwood, even though they're not a bad side, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I would disagree with that observation, Paul, but are you a Crows man?
Definitely am.
Okay. Well, you've obviously been paying attention to that element of the commentary going in the AFL circles in the first three rounds. I would disagree with that. I reckon there's been plenty of love shown to the Adelaide Crows, and with good reason too, to the point where Robbo flew across last week to speak to your coach because he wanted to find out more about your footy club and the man leading it.
I think they're in a very good spot at the moment.
Hell of a lot of chat.
Everyone's really excited with what they're doing.
This hour for Subway. They get the Mexican chicken sub now at Subway Outlets. Johnny is in Carrum Downs. G'day, Johnny.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Johnny.
That's good. Now, I was just ringing to talk about Paddy McCartan's debut. Now, me being a Saints supporter, I was really pleased because the main knock on him getting drafted, well, from Saints supporters anyway, in some of the practice matches that he had, was his ability to get off his man. Like, the marks, that didn't bother me at all, dropping marks, but I was really happy that he could get off his man and find space, because I think that's half the battle as a forward, to be able to get off your man, and I thought he did that in spades on Friday night.
Look, I thought, he dropped a couple of marks, as you said, and that's always going to happen with his first game, but I thought late in the game when he worked himself into it half, I loved his second and third efforts.
Yep.
Like, he dropped the mark, but straight after it, picked it up, handballed it off, or gave a kick away. But look, that was his first game, and
it
was wet conditions. It was never going to be easy with the lead-up that he had. But, yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about first games. People always go, he's a number one draft pick or number three or whatever, and he's got to come in, he's going to get 13 possessions and six marks and three goals. It's a bloody hard game.
He warmed into it really well, as you said. And the other thing is, in
terms
of preparation, I wouldn't
worry too much if I was a Saints fan.
When were you told that you were going to play your first game of footy?
Thursday.
I got told Thursday. This guy got told half an hour before the game started.
Was it even half an hour?
So, I mean, even from a preparation point of view, you give him a bit of slack. I thought that he showed enough. He got drawn to the footy, or drew himself to the footy a couple of times, put himself in really good spots. And as you said, his back, the back half, particularly that last quarter, started to really get
himself the game had died away a little bit by then, but the fact that he just kept presenting, kept coming, and like I said, his second, third efforts, you got to give that. Look, key position players always take a little bit longer. And what we saw there, if I was a Saints fan, I'd be pretty happy with what I saw.
Yeah. Let that one go. He's
never going to have a big night.
Chalk that one off as one of the milestones for Paddy McCartan and just move on from there. Look, chances are, if Rewalt plays this week, he doesn't play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that about right?
Get him back there and keep developing him.
Yeah. And that's
okay, too.
No
problem with that.
That is okay, too. Greg's in Brisbane. G'day, Greg.
Oh, g'day, Cam and Half. How are you going?
Good, buddy.
Look, I'm a big Lions supporter. After the pre-season this year, getting Beams and Christensen up here, I was looking forward to the season, came in with some simmering expectations. After the first few rounds, and especially the game against North and then the game on the weekend, I'm pretty devastated, actually. Do you boys see any upside with us?
Plenty of upside. Look, Greg, a lot of people said at the start of the season, oh, you know, if you want a Smokey to go into the eight or someone that could, you know, push for the 10th spot, go for Brisbane. And I nearly fell off my chair. You know, you get in Beams and Christensen, yeah, two great players. But you got to worry about the bookends.
Yeah.
And they've got absolutely no experience at either end, really. I mean, especially down the forward end when, you know, if you can't get goals in our game today, you're never going to win a game of football. Yeah, and they're really struggling at that point. And that's going to be evident now. Close has gone out as well with his knee. You know, these young guys, McStay, Freeman, you know, they're all going to take time. You know, none of them have played over 20 games, most of these guys. You know, Clark's the only one who's played nearly 40 games, and he's obviously down back, and he's going to be a ripping player. But you can't just win games just because you've got a really good, strong midfield. And they do. Rockcliffe's been out, and just remember they lost three or four players over the last couple of years.
Well, you lose Patful.
You
lose Hanley at the start of the season.
Hanley.
The off-season. You lose Rockcliffe at the start of the season.
But look at the guys that have actually left the club.
Your Yo and your Doherty's and those type
who
of players.
Who went to Port.
Yes.
Someone.
The left foot of the fast
end. Yes, that's Pollock. The one.
Pollock.
You know, you throw all these guys into your team and you throw in Hanley, you throw in Rockcliffe and you throw in Patful. You know, they'd be a hell of a lot better. But you lose your big forward, Jonathan Brown, who obviously because of age. But they haven't had a replacement for him.
No.
They've got their young kids who are going to be fantastic in a few years. So if I was a Brisbane supporter, look, you've just got to cop a little bit of a whack at the moment. And to think that you're going to be pushing for maybe a 10th to 8th spot, in my opinion, you weren't being realistic.
And they've kicked 11 goals, 7 goals and 8 goals in their 3 games so far against Collingwood North and Richmond. That doesn't win you many games of footy. 11 might win you a couple every now and then. 7 and 8, certainly.
Yeah, that's only on the back of a very, very strong defence.
Certainly. That's right. The question was always going to be, how are they going to kick their goals? Mm-hmm. And I think we found that's not going to be easy.
Well, the talk was, could Leuenberger and Martin play in the same side? And we saw on the weekend, well, that's obviously a no, because Leuenberger was dropped. I do love Martin. This is a good contest with Martin and Marich.
Steph's going well.
Marich really is a superstar. Superstar ruckman.
Superstar.
He really is. As far as ruckman go, he is a superstar. He is a workhorse. He's an animal.
Yep.
He's aggressive. He just, you watch him.
It's everything a big bloke should be.
Yeah, if you get to see him live, you watch him just do 100, 150 metre sprints up and down the field just to get to contest after contest. He's a ripper.
Yep. Thank you, Greg. Just ride the wave a bit, mate. It's going to be tough for the time being, the short term, but it will get better. Phil's in Berwick. G'day, Phil.
G'day, boys. Look, this is not so much related to football, but I was at Etihad Stadium for the Collingwood-Adelaide game.
Yep.
And look, we had to actually move out of the bottom tier. The advertising that's around the boarding of the ground, it's that bad, you can't actually see the players. During the warm-up, they have these vertical stripes. You literally could not see a player. They were just lost in the stripes. And at game time, look, I don't know how on earth the players keep that spatial vision, if you like, of where to kick the ball to, how far, who's coming in from what angles with that advertising, because it's constantly moving. The players don't have a standard level of reference. And I wonder if that's contributing to the lack of skills this year.
Well, it's been a topic of conversation, this LED signage around the grounds moons and these new fandangled
signage. Have you heard a player come out and say anything about it?
Not.
I know from a supporter. It can be a little bit annoying with all the flashing lights carrying on. But
yeah, well, I had some people say to me on the weekend.
I just haven't heard a player yet say anything.
It was very, very distracting. I haven't heard a player say it. I'm not sure if they've been asked.
And they're
ask
probably
them.
The main ones that we need to ask.
Well, it's for, it's a fan's game for the fans, so you don't want to be distracted or be not be able to see if you're one of the fans of the game, particularly in the lower levels, I imagine, where it would be one of the key issues, where most people or a lot of people are moons at AFL games of footy. So what we should do is check in with some of the players and see if they noticed.
Speak to, right? We'll ask the question.
That's what we'll do for you, David. Thank you for your call. Now, the biggest of the Hairy Cats, Cameron Mooney, is with us. Great to have him on a Tuesday afternoon all year round through the AFL season.
How'd you go with your tips this week, huh?
I took a few chances this week. Got 7.
How'd
you go?
Oh. Just a lazy nine.
To tuck the favourites.
SEN tipping competition. I'm just soaring to the top on that one.
Well, we're trying to tip against you, and if you keep getting 9, it's going to be difficult, mate.
Well, I copped a little bit of a whack from a couple of people on social media about my tipping last week. I said, I'll bounce back.
It's great when you get heckled for your tipping.
Oh, I know.
That's great fun. No, poor old Kangas. I backed the Kangas, or tipped the Kangas, didn't back them.
Yeah, tipped stiff, though.
Tipped them, and I was half a chance there, and then went for a bit of the outsider on Friday night, went for the Saints to have a crack against the Pies. That didn't quite turn out as I thought it might.
Yeah, not great.
Although 15 minutes in, I was...
Well, 15 minutes
I
in,
was
I thought...
the cash.
Bucks is in a bit of trouble 15 minutes in. They're all going to be coming for him.
Ended up pretty well for the Mighty Magpies.
77 inside 50s or something.
Was that the final number, was it?
Oh, something ridiculous.
That's a pretty good number. It's a very
They came to a bit
number.
Of a standstill in the end, the poor Saints.
Yeah, ran out of gas, big time. I'm going to find that number. You're right, 77. Wow.
That is a lot.
Hey, Nick's in Hoppers Crossing. He wants to talk to you, Moons. Hello, Nick.
How you going, fellas?
Good.
Nick.
I wanted to talk about two issues. The ongoing saga about the Malthouse situation. Now, look, I've heard your comments and a few other guys and KB's program this morning. You're right on the ball. You can't just play young players just for the sake of it. You need to get them ready, develop them, and then ease them in quietly a little bit, bit by bit, and then they're on their way. We all know the recruiting's been bad the last 10 to 15 years. Maybe I'll go back maybe 20 years ago when they had all the ageing list and they didn't really do anything about it. But bottom line is don't get rid of the coach. Don't blame the coach. They actually had a go against Essendon this week. Just their kicking for goal was terrible, but they actually had a go. That's all we want. Have a go. And in relation to the Gold Coast, until they get in the eight, I don't know if they're going to win a premiership, but it's a long-term proposition there as well, I think.
Look, if you haven't heard, Mick Malthouse was in the coach's box on Friday night and was just outstanding.
Was.
Outstanding.
SEN.com.au.
And the biggest thing that he said was, we're going to rebuild, but that starts in October, November. And it just made a great point that, you know, it's very hard to rebuild right now. Yes, you've got some kids on your list. And he said, look, if they're not ready to play, I'm not going to play them because it would be embarrassing for them and they're going to get their development knocked back because they'll get knocked around. But the development, redevelopment will start at the end of the year. And it was just a really good point to say to all Carlton people, yes, it's going to happen, but it can't happen today. It can't happen tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's going to happen at the end of the year when they can start getting their picks in and they start looking at their list at the end of the year and trading off this player, that player, whatever they need to do to regenerate these good picks. So it was a really good point, I thought. It was fantastic. But he was excellent.
He was excellent.
I'll tell you what, there's a bit on the paper today saying, you know, is he going to be... Mick is 61 and it's a long season. Does he have the energy? Well, I'll tell you what, seeing him firsthand, he looks as fit as any 61-year-old I've ever come across.
Well, David Parker was talking about how he looks after himself in the paper today as well, fully supportive of Mick able to do that role for the Blues.
And is there a better man out there for the job?
Well, it's a great question.
This is a man that has...
Who comes in? If you're going to get rid of him...
He's one of the great coaches.
Who comes in? That's one of the great questions too. Thanks, Nick, for your call. Steve's in Cranbourne. G'day, Steve.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, good. Just a quick thing. A bit of respect for the Diggers. I look forward to Anzac Day match.
It's gonna be great.
Just had to say that. But just want to talk about the footy. With Collingwood playing Essendon, if Collingwood might beat them, which anything can happen. You know, anything can happen on a strange day. Do you reckon Collingwood be at another level if they can beat Essendon?
What do you mean another level?
Like do you reckon they could make finals contention? Yeah.
No.
Well, probably not, but look, Swanee was brilliant. 15 inside 50s.
Swanee was awesome.
15 inside 50s.
Swanee
that was unbelievable.
Awesome.
Pendlebury, heavily tagged, gets another 29 or whatever it was, and after a bad week on the track. And look, look, we know what they can do as far as their forward line if Cloak's on fire. He is the barometer of that side. Had 9 shots on goal, but again, he's missing some easy ones. I know that little man can jump on your shoulder, Daniel. Elliot's turning into a star, but I thought Travi Vaako was excellent on Friday night.
Yeah, he went much better. Much better.
But they still look young and thin down back. And they even say that. You know, they've got very, very inexperienced down back. And they come up against an experienced team down there. Well, they could struggle. But look, as long as the main guys are playing well, I thought on Friday night, the big three that had to play well, obviously Swan, Penderbring, Cloak, and they were all in the votes.